I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I am Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where kids will laugh out loud at and understand our quest for independence, just as parents will identify with how hard it is to let go of your one and only special bunny. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, kids being independent. I was thinking like, you know, like an independent Ukraine or something. Like,
Tom.
It's like our quest for bunnies. Oh, bunnies. Kids being independent. The parents like, yeah, okay. No, that's
just
I get
those
it, yeah.
Silly kids. Yes, that is the description of Lawrence, the bunny who wanted to be naked.
He just wants his independence from clothing.
Wants to be free.
Yay!
And hop naked through the fields like the other bunnies.
Indeed. And possibly hop naked into a shower, although apparently that is less and less of a thing. This is a small thing. This is a minority thing, but it's a growing thing in frequent showering.
Yep.
The idea that, you know what? You don't need to shower every day. You need to wash. You know, you need to keep yourself clean. We'll wash your face, maybe your pits, but you don't need to shower. And in fact, showering every day could be bad for your skin, might cause eczema, might wipe away your skin biome all the time. There was an article in the BBC that caught my eye about this with someone trying to admit that they infrequently showered. This person does 3 times a week, but there are people who do once a week or even less and claim that they smell just fine.
Yeah, fascinating and definitely becoming a thing. Apparently, Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis are fans of this. They just sort of do like bits and bobs. Mm-hmm. And even my child the other day mentioned to me that he's going to start trying to wash his hair less, because washing your hair, this goes right along with, God, we talk about showering a lot on the show lately, but it goes with the idea of the everything shower. Like, there are a lot of people who don't wash their hair. I do not wash my hair every day, because it's bad for it. And I don't want to increase the rate at which it falls out. And like, when you blow dry and stuff, you want it to like last a few days. So that, I think, has been pretty common. And then increasingly people are just like, yeah, no. I mean, I suspect this also will continue to rise with sort of work from home. I mean, listen, like, I've been working from home for a lot of years, and it has been a long time since I was a shower every day person.
Because you don't have that routine, you know? You don't have the like, well, I have to get up, take a shower, drink the coffee, get in the car, go to work. No, you just go to work, right?
Right.
Like, you grab the coffee at some point too, because you're not skipping that.
Even then, like, I was just like a busy single mom. Like, I didn't shower every day.
Yeah.
You just run out of time. And now, as we discussed in the bonus content, which you can get at the $5 Patreon level, not other levels as we may have suggested earlier, I've been working out a lot. And so now I shower more.
Yeah, that was the one thing about, and everyone
that's the
agreed,
one problem.
If you work out, you should clean yourself. Maybe it's a bath, maybe, but you should definitely take a shower or bathe if you've worked out, because you've sweated and you need to get that off. And I think sometimes when people hear infrequent shower, they hear no shower or no cleaning. And
that's not true. No,
and you
exactly.
definitely need to clean yourself every day. Like, this is just, you don't have to step under a spout that pours water on you. You can just, you know, do some spot cleaning, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I find it so baffling. This article is like, in 2023, actor America Ferrera astonished her fellow Barbie castmates in an interview when admitting that she occasionally skips the shower. I'm sorry.
Frightening.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know. What I didn't know is that there was this much stigma Yeah. About the idea of not, because I feel like every mom I talk to, I'm just like, girl, it'll be a great week if I get a shower in. And they're like, right. Like, I feel like none of us are showering.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's interesting. That's interesting that it's like, I think it's an unspoken thing in mixed company, shall we say, right? Like,
maybe
it's code to say that person doesn't shower is code for they smell. So when you say, I don't shower, then
right.
you're susceptible to being misinterpreted as being like, oh, so you don't clean yourself. And that's not what you're saying at all. So in the right. group where everybody understands, it's fine to be like, oh man, I can't wait to get a shower. Cause it was like, yeah, me too. But in the cast interview at Barbie, I guess maybe there's more like, wait, what are you trying to say?
I mean, apparently that is God, Hollywood, how oppressive it is there. So oppressive, like people.
Well, yes, it is. I don't think it's the only place that's like that.
Well, no.
Yeah.
Good point. Good point. Yeah, I like it. Look, normalize not having to use water unnecessarily. Normalize like cleaning your bits right? as needed.
Mm-hmm.
And having healthy hair and skin. And yes, yeah. and, you know, shower after working out.
Yeah, and I think we talked about the not using shampoo and not, you know, not washing your hair all the time thing for so this goes right along with that.
Absolutely. All right. I have two fashion things today, which is kind of an accident, but it is what it is. And one of them is almost like a little bit of a twofer because I came across this trend. I had started to see this trend and then came across it explicitly mentioned in, ironically, it's an ironic use of the word explicit because it was in this Vox column about how everybody swears all the time now. And like, and apparently the C word. See you next Tuesday.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Is fully back.
So,
and people are just dropping this word.
In some non-US cultures, it's not as bad.
Exactly.
Right? And so I think right. that what that's the thin wedge that opens the door, right?
Yeah. And now it's being used almost like that. Like it sort of has come in that sort of British and Australian way where you just kind of say it. And frankly, like, listen, personally, I'm delighted because I say this in the car all the time. This is my reserved for bad drivers word. And I like it. And it makes me, it's very satisfying. But apparently we're just casually saying it in fact, in the pre-show, we also talked about how I'm completely burned out on It's Giving.
Uh-huh.
But this is evidently in social media. Been now it's you say it's giving C word or I'm serving C word.
Oh,
if
wow.
I'm looking kind of bitchy, and all of this is the preface to evidently little librarian glasses, which we are now calling see you next to like crunchy little librarian glasses our thing, and they call them that.
I do like the little librarian glasses.
And the little librarian glasses are super freaking cute. Remember Doja Cat wore them at the – Doja Cat wore them when she was head-to-toe fake tattoos. By the way, my fake tattoos should be arriving any day now. I ordered some from Inkbox.
Oh, nice.
Super excited. But yes, we are all evident and we are all about to be, which I'm annoyed about because I just finally got – you know, I did the aviator reading glasses and now I need the C-U-N-T-Y little librarian glasses.
Mm-hmm.
But the little glasses – combined with the word. And what I like about the combination, I could have just said little librarian glasses. I know I didn't have to go take
that is a thing on its all, but you know, bonus thing.
But there's something about the idea of it being such a forbidding look
mm-hmm.
that makes me like it even more. It's like, it's not just that I'm wearing little librarian glasses to look smart. It's that I'm wearing them to look off-putting and unfriendly.
Like armor.
And so I like them as little glasses, but I especially like them as see you next Tuesday little glasses.
You want to be serving, not just giving.
Exactly.
This is a good one. I've always liked this style of glasses too. I always thought they look cool.
Yeah, I really like them. I think they're super cute. And now I'm going to have to obviously add them to my readers collection.
And Rich is going to add them to our merch strategy somehow.
Oh, absolutely. They probably will not be labeled.
Could you put It's a Thing on the you know, the stem?
The crossbar?
Yeah.
Or whatever it's called. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Here's one that I heard of on the Reading Glasses podcast. apparently folks worldwide are looking for novels with short chapters.
They're looking for them?
They're like, do you have any recommendations for novels with short chapters?
Oh my God.
Because it's a nice way to pace yourself and keep yourself reading, right? Mm-hmm. When you have a long book and you have to stop in the middle of the chapter, it can be hard to pick back up and try to remember where you were. And then you either have to use a bookmark or fold the paper. But if you've got short chapters, you never feel like you don't have enough time to read, because you can always read just one chapter, right? Yeah. And it's easy to stop because you're like, oh, I'll just go to the end of this chapter. Oh yeah, it's only a page. And so people see it as a way to motivate them to read more.
I mean, I guess I can actually see that. And that does make a lot of sense. I like the ones that, now that I'm deep into all Sarah J. Maas all the time, I am relieved sometimes when a chapter comes to a close, because it's like, okay, I got to put that down. But the idea that it's such a thing that people are like seeking it out is pretty delightful.
Yeah. And this is not short books. Freaking The Stand, right, by Stephen King counts as a book with short chapters, because it's just got short chapters. It's like, oh, I don't want to read a short book. I just want to read a book where there's like short breaks and I don't have to feel like I'm stuck in the middle of a chapter and I have to keep going.
I love that. I think that's such a great filter, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. And short chapters. I have not seen anyone do a story on this yet. I heard it on the Reading Glasses podcast, because they were remarking that they were seeing so many people give them, ask them for recommendations. Do you know any books with short chapters? They're like, this has definitely become a thing.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Also, the CUNT Little Reading Glasses podcast. I mean, that's so, you're killing me. You said Little Reading Glasses.
It's Reading Glasses, not Little Reading Glasses. But yes, imagine them both wearing those tiny librarian glasses and you're right on target.
There's quite a fun subreddit thread, actually, in r/books about short chapters. And it's just like a bunch of homages, and a bunch of them are Stephen King, but also Tolstoy.
Yeah.
Apparently. Short chapters. War and Peace. Short chapters.
I'm just going to start marketing all
good
my books.
Good way to get through a long book.
Books with short chapters.
I love it. Moby Dick has short chapters. Surprisingly, yeah. Very readable.
Look at
that.
Oh my
God, this is so good. This is such a good find. I absolutely love it.
Novels with short chapters. And it sounds like, oh, people are, you know, lazy, but it's actually, I feel like it's the opposite. It's more like, I just don't have a lot of time.
Right.
But I want to read, but it's a pain to stop in the middle of a chapter.
Totally. Oh my gosh. I love it. If it gets people through War and Peace, I am all for it. I do not know how to feel about my next thing, but it has been verified by so many Gen Zs, and I just genuinely didn't see it coming. But I have to tell you that it is evidently a real thing to hunt down and elbow all the other thrift shoppers out of the way for vintage Chico's.
Chico's.
Do you remember Chico's from the mall?
Uh-huh.
And maybe it's because and
I'm
Chico's,
not sure I ever set foot in a Chico's, but I absolutely know what it is.
That's because you were not a 50-year-old woman growing up. And I mean, Chico's was like a mall store for ladies, but definitely middle-aged ladies. Yeah. I mean, it would be like where you would find a tasseled cardigan, you know, and like a printed suede leather jacket with like a vaguely Chinese appropriate-y dragon on the back, like complete old lady mall clothes.
Oh, yeah. There's some leopard prints.
Apparently, this is the move.
Really?
Like, The Gen Z thrift shoppers are all about Chico's, and they're all about the printed patterns and the like unbelievably unflatteringly cropped denim jackets that stop just right at the hip dip, right in the middle of the hip. Like, why would you do that? Why Chico's? And now these girls are like, it's cropped. It's so cute. And they're just, they're seeking out that there are like, what is this? Like 30 pages on Poshmark of just Chico's stuff.
Yeah, I'm lost in the Chico's. Like, it's just at Chico's as far as the eye can see on Poshmark. This is ridiculous.
Every single one of these, just about 99% of these, are just this mid-hip crop. Like, why did Chico's hate women so much? I am enraged about this, and yet I'm sure that the thrift shoppers are just making them look fantastic.
Yeah.
platinum fringe denim jacket. Just fringe, like 3 feet of fringe.
Maximalist, black, colorful patchwork, wild and wearable.
Yeah, I'll say. I mean, the whole thing is maximalist. Like, it's just, it's bonkers. Chicos.
It's form hiding.
Yeah, it is.
And yet, loud.
So loud.
Is how I would describe the general fashion here.
Form hiding and loud.
That's Chico's.
It's like, it's just absolutely wonderful. Apparently, like, Chico's maybe is still around, but it's thrifting galore.
Wow.
Form hiding and loud. I really, that's, I'm stunned. I'm stunned into silence by the perfection of that description.
Thank you. I worked hard on that one. I had to really think.
So there you go.
Yeah.
When you see the kids out there looking like that,
that's, like, oh, is that Chico's? Is
that Chico's? And they'll be like, it is. I looked everywhere on Poshmark for that.
Yeah. Wow. I just realized my mom probably has some Chico's stowed away in that storage shed that we're going to clean out.
So, if it's still, put it on Depop.
Yeah.
Do it. It's a good idea. It will be huge. Yeah.
Follow up to Sleep Divorce from last week. I was watching Cecilia Blumdahl's vlog. She lives up in Svalbard. They're headed into the polar day. And she was talking about Scandinavian sleep habits, one of which is separate duvets.
What?
So if you're not ready for the full sleep divorce, you want to stay in the same bed, but you need your own duvet. That's like, oh yeah, Scandinavians have been doing that for decades. That's what we do. We each have our own duvet.
A duvet divorce.
Mm-hmm.
That's so satisfying to say too. That's really pleasing. A duvet divorce. Wow. That's actually genius, because it may be impractical to sleep in separate rooms and you might not want to, but the blanket thing is a war.
Yeah. No
and so
more.
So just solving that with separate. Wow.
And she was funny. She was like, people ask me all the time when I tell them this, like, well, you know, what about when you, you know, you're separated from your partner? And she's like, they're not made of bricks.
Right. It's not a
you
wall.
Can
it's
lift
not a,
the cover if you want.
It's not a Puritan board in between the two of you.
In fact, I would look at it as multi-factor authentication. Like, both sides have to lift their duvet, and then you know you have consensus. And
you are in fuego today. That's outstanding. Oh, that's incredible. Yeah. Kick off the duvets and go.
Yeah. Separate duvets.
Wonderful. I absolutely love it. All right. On to the feedback. Feedback at itsathing.me. Keep the emails coming. We were a little light on emails this weekend. I know you guys are busy. It was probably spring break or whatever, but we miss you.
Send us emails. Feedback at itsathing.me. Alex on Ms. Taylor Swift. You've heard of her? Mm. Hi, Rich, Tom, and Molly. I feel like you would have to have been living under a rock this past week to not notice that omnipresent Uber thing. Taylor Swift released a new album. However, I think I feel like we're now at a moment in her thing trajectory in that everyone seems tired. Critical reviews for the latest album have been significantly more mixed. The jokes about the lyrics seeming AI-generated are all over Twitter, and even diehard Swifties I talk to have admitted that getting through 31 songs that track over 2 hours is a little exhausting. 2023 was unquestionably a year that Taylor completely dominated, but I feel like in hindsight, we'll look back at the Super Bowl moment as the high watermark, and this release as the beginning of a decline from Uber thingdom.
Yeah, I'm curious about it. So I saw the New York Times review hinted at this. Mm-hmm. And I myself posted on Instagram that I was a lot more tired of Elon and Donald, but good try, New York Times. It's very interesting because I sort of feel like I was on a meeting today with all women.
Mm-hmm.
And the meeting opened with us being like, are you all listening to Taylor Swift? And then some of us were like, we're still getting through Cowboy Carter. And then I was like, I have it sort of on the shelf for when I have time to really dive into it. And then one of the women was like, it's a lot of songs. And I was like, yeah. And it's funny because I will hear that from all of you. I'm like, I feel like we can say that here. Mm. But if some like pissy male reviewer who also like litters his review with sort of vaguely sexist, is she overexposed stuff or whatever. If he says it, no, I disagree. Mm. So it's sort of like one of those, like, it might be a little too long, but Christopher Nolan's still giving us 2-hour and 45-minute movies. So, like, I'm not having it. You know, I'm just like, maybe, but let her cook.
I think it's funny that people, that you're like, I'm still working through Cowboy Carter, as if it's a book.
It's kind of a book. I mean, right? It's like a journey, yeah. You know, and there's the, yeah, I mean, each one, this is partly why people, I think, gave up on albums in general. Like, it's a time commitment to get through an album, especially when the album itself is like a whole entire story.
She needs shorter chapters.
She needs shorter chapters.
I'll be honest. Hilarious. I listened to the entire first album, what we thought was the only album, the morning it came out, and I loved every single song. I understand the criticism that this is not new. This is not, ooh, Taylor's trying something different. And if that's what you wanted, you're not going to get it. That's fair. But the lyrics are genius. The stories are wonderful. And every time I think, you know what, I'm just going to remove this one from the playlist, I listen to it, I'm like, oh no, that was actually really good. So I think it's solid. I think what Alex is identifying is that there isn't any new direction here. It's not like, ooh, Taylor's trying this, which Beyonce, obviously, clearly, you know, trying something new, right?
Tried some stuff.
Going country. It doesn't mean Taylor won't ever go there. I feel like Taylor is like, I'm doing the Eras tour. I'm doing the best of right now. Mm-hmm. So I could put out a best of, which is lame, or I could write a best of. This is the best of me that you've known so far. And that's kind of the way I look at it, is like, oh, if you really like Taylor Swift, you'll love every track on this album. Is it too many songs at 31 songs? I also haven't listened to the entire second album yet. You know, that's probably too much. But also, Taylor likes to give. So she's like, Swifties are going to love it. They're not going to be upset. They all listen to it immediately.
Exactly. And it had been like 2 years, I think, since an album came out. And what I think is that everything that you have said is true. And also, the fatigue, if you will, is manifesting itself as a bit of a backlash. So you're seeing these, so you're seeing these, like, this is not her best work and it kind of sucks. There's like the Campus Times University of Rochester piece, right? It's like the mega star in decline. By possibly people who wouldn't have reviewed a Taylor Swift album before.
Sure.
So I think you have all these people who feel that Taylor Swift has been shoved down their throats all year long.
Because of the Super Bowl
stuff. She's
been
everywhere because of the Super Bowl stuff, and also the, and just Travis Kelce. Well, and let's be clear, because of her, Beyonce, and Barbie being significant engines of economic growth in America.
Yeah, the Eras Tour alone was huge. Right.
Huge. Like, literally, a bump in GDP is how significant just that tour was. Mm-hmm. And then you have these three. So, and then you have this whole conversation about how that, what that means about women in the media and whatever. And so I guarantee you that some of the mixed response that you're seeing is from people who might be men who might be tired of hearing about Taylor Swift themselves.
Yeah.
So you got both. You got a really long album. No question. Maybe it didn't take a lot of creative risks. No question. It's a banger for the people who love her. And for the people who were already tired of her, they're delighted to say, I'm tired of her.
Everyone who's popular gets a backlash. People hate Apple because they're successful. They didn't used to because they weren't successful, right? They were the underdog. Mm-hmm. Taylor is not just Apple successful. She's like crazy successful.
Yeah, so she's Beatles successful.
It would be weird if there weren't a backlash. People burned Beatles records because they were successful.
Because they thought they sold out. Remember when Bob Dylan did an Electric album?
I feel like all of
this
that
is
stuff,
like all of that. You
I think
know?
All of that stuff is rationalization for the feeling of like, I don't like it because it's popular.
Yes, exactly.
And like the reasons of like, oh, it's because it's this, because it's that, because he went electric, because she didn't take a risk. It's because they're popular. And there's just a human need sometimes to be backlash against the popular thing. I don't know if you weren't part of it or you don't identify with it or whatever, right? There's a million reasons.
Right. And there is inescapably a tinge of sexism with respect to this particular too popular backlash, because it's not just about, as there is, you know, with Beyonce, there is sexism and racism to boot, mm-hmm. right? In saying she can't do a country album. It's not her genre, et cetera, et cetera. You take all of those factors and you layer them in and you get an inevitable backlash that in no way, I would argue, means that Taylor Swift herself is going to be on any kind of a decline.
And when you have success that large, you have a backlash that large.
Yep, totally.
So, you know what?
You keep doing you.
I think Taylor will probably be okay.
Taylor's like those movies on Rotten Tomatoes that I like to think of as my favorite movies. Mm. And those are the movies that have like a 50% critic score and an 87% audience score.
Right, right.
Like, she's like, sure, I got a 99% audience score, I bet. You know, like, no, we're not worried about that.
No.
The Fast and Furious movies made a lot of money.
Set a 1 week streaming record on Spotify.
Yeah. Like, okay. Okay, Colin.
Yeah. You don't have to like it. They'll be
fine.
You
don't have to like it.
Yeah.
Not in decline.
No.
You wish.
I mean, maybe they'll be in decline at some point, but not today.
Not today. Not today.
The numbers say otherwise.
All right. Sandra from Kirkland has a job for us. Hi, Mr. T, Molly, Rich, and Tom. One of my new favorite things as a Gen Xer is reading the AARP magazine. I don't know why, but I find it incredibly entertaining. And I thought, hey, I bet all these other old people would benefit from learning about It's a Thing's Things. Wouldn't that be a great cross promotion for you? You could get more olds like us, LOL, understanding what the kids are talking about in the magazine, and maybe get a bunch of new listeners to your podcast. If you're not interested in pursuing but like the idea, I could look into it. I originally thought, what a great article idea for me, but I didn't want to rip you guys off. I'm honorable like that.
Oh, thank you, Sandra. And yes, let's do that. I read the AARP magazine too. First thing I did when I turned 50 was sign up for AARP. Like, I'm a fan.
I've actually heard it's pretty good.
It's not bad. Yeah. They have some decent stuff going on in there. So yeah, hit us back, Sandra. We'll email you back.
Yeah, let's discuss this.
Yeah, I think let's
this
talk could about
be
it.
An excellent distribution platform.
I think it would be fantastic. It's a great idea. Let's figure
it
out.
Into it. I absolutely love it.
Let's also love our patrons who support us at patreon.com/itsathing, without which we wouldn't really have a show. Like, it's pretty amazing that you folks get value out of this show and give value back. If you're not a patron and thinking like, oh, it's too late to be a patron, I missed the trend. No, they're ready to welcome you in right now. And in fact, if you support us at the top level of Patreon, you get a top level shout out.
Yeah, you do. And this week's shout outs are based, shout out Fallout, I suspect, for increasing the interest in video game related things. A transcript from the game Ultima 2.
Okay.
I'm gonna begin. Castle British, 1423 BC. Brother Brian Gianforcaro ordains, search the stars for my kin. Bishop Benjamin Forrest preaches, confess to Brother Brian Gianforcaro. A.B. Puppy the French chef burps, I think, therefore I am. Commander Gabriel Cohen screams, is it soup yet? The wandering Mike Aiken asks, do you know the way to San Jose?
Port Boniface, 1990 A.D. Lady Lara Abel cries, gag me with a spoon. AJ Venturella sings, try our new ride through. The sightless Jake Woods says, find the father, earn the ring. Lady Morris Jones pleads, beat me, kick me, tell me lies.
New San Antonio, 1990 AD. Baylor Trucks, the swashbuckler, warns, beware, I've a quick blade. An old Joe Hood mumbles, I'm an old Joe Hood. The floppy Louis St. Amour brags, I own one of everything. A Kevin Sill states, welcome to the Hotel California.
Such a lovely place. General Populous, A. Lee Price says, pay your taxes. A. James C. Smith says, ugh, me tough. And Eric Duncan says, hexy poo, hex on you.
I didn't mean to stick Tom with the poo, but it was worth it.
Yes, it was. It was. And apologies to any Ultima 2 players if we did not do your game justice there, but we did our best.
Well, you're NPC. I think we can all agree that it was worth it for you to support us at the shout-out level so that we could do that and do the show every single week. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you do choose to support us at patreon.com/itsathing, you will also get an ad-free RSS feed, the bonus content, and you can join us in the Discord every week and chat along live with your fellow fans.
Oh my gosh, that is one of the most fun things. They're in there honestly talking about AARP right now. You can also support the show by buying some things through our affiliate links. Look for them in the show notes over at our shopping page at itsathing.me/shop. And you can also email us your things, feedback@itsathing.me.
Woohoo! See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. See you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.